I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading comes from the book of Joshua, the 3rd chapter, verses 7 through 17. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so they may know I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap." When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and their feet of the priest bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing toward the sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on dry ground, the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. Our scriptures have many amazing passages and miracles in them. Oddly, there are those that are lifted up as amazing, as miracles, and those that aren't. It's as though they're lost to view because they're not as big. Is that even possible? For something amazing to be less amazing? Or a miracle to be a lesser miracle? I guess it depends on one's viewpoint. You know, there's a story about a man who had a black lab. He's walking along the ocean. He has a stick and he throws it out into the ocean, way out, and the dog runs on top of the water, retrieves the stick, and comes back. This goes on for some time. Finally, another man's coming down. The guy with the dog says, "Watch this." He throws the stick way out in the ocean, and the dog runs out on top of the ocean, grabs the stick, and runs back. The guy looks at the passerby and says, "Did you notice anything?" The guy says, "Yeah, your dog can't swim." We see what we want to see, right? We can read this scripture, we can see the Jordan part, but we don't look at that like the Red Sea with Moses. How many movies have you seen where Joshua stands in the middle of the Jordan and it parts? Not going to happen. You see Moses, that Charlton Heston boy, he's out there, boom, and it parts. But it's a lesser miracle. And again I ask, is there any such thing as a lesser miracle? Looking at our scripture, we cannot help but have a sense of deja vu. Moses parts, Joshua parts. Seems like we got the same thing going on here. No less of a miracle, no less of someone having the power of God with them. So what do we have now? God speaks to Joshua, tells Joshua to cross the Jordan, and what happens? The priests place their feet in the Jordan, and then when they do, the waters parted. The Israelites cross over on dry land. Same thing we're told with the Red Sea. And yet, we rarely, if ever, hear this story. How many of you sitting here today tell that story to people? Wow, did you know he parted the Jordan? But we hear people all the time talk about Moses. For some of us, a miracle is a miracle is a miracle. For others, it depends. May not be that great of a miracle. I guess the sea just seems so much bigger than a river. Let us look at what may be considered lesser miracles by some. Acts 3:6, Peter heals a crippled beggar. Acts 9:32, Peter heals Ananias, who was paralyzed, bedridden for 8 years. Acts 9:40, Peter raises Tabitha from death. Acts 14:10, Paul restores a man's crippled legs. Acts 19:11 through 16, Paul heals multitudes. Acts 20:9, Paul heals Eutychus, who fell from a window while listening to Paul speak. I was telling Gene and Lee this morning, he wasn't preaching, he was speaking. The guy got bored and fell out the window and died. So Paul, I guess, felt responsible and went out there and revived him, brought him back to life. Those are miracles, folks. No less than what we've seen in the Old Testament, no less than what we saw Jesus do, those are miracles. But we rarely ever hear about that. We rarely ever hear about these miracles. Here's the thing. Our Bible is replete with miracles, with amazing events. Yet it seems all too often we focus and read only select passages. Abraham, Moses, David, you name it. Boy, those are the guys right there. They're the ones doing the miracles. But I think it's very important that we look and see that there are a whole bunch of other people doing miracles. Whole bunch of them. Are not the miracles in the book of Acts every bit as good as the ones we've read before? I think the people who got their legs restored, got their life restored, would say, yeah. I think they're pretty much the same there. In fact, they are the same. It is a miracle. But all too often, we read Scripture and we go, deja vu. Did it again. Let's go back to Moses because that was the big one. Let's go back to Jesus because that was the big miracle. Truth is, so often we minimize God's miracles, whether it is in Scripture or in life today. A story is told of a king. And please listen carefully. This king is sitting out in his garden, and his counselor comes. And the king says, are there miracles or are there not? I must know. The counselor said, let me show you something. He gives the king 4 acorns. He says, Majesty, would you please plant these? So the king goes over and he digs a hole for each of those acorns and he puts them in. Then the counselor says, I'd like for you to kneel by the pool and look into the pool. The king looks, he gets down, he's looking into the water. Then the counselor says, raise your head and look around. And when the king raises his head, there are 4 mighty oak trees right in front of him. And the king says, now that's a miracle. There are miracles. And the counselor says, how long did you look in the pool? And the king said, only a second. He says, no. 80 years have passed. And the king looked at his clothes and they were tattered. And he looked back into the pool and saw his reflection and he was an old, old man. And he was angry and he said, that's not a miracle. That is not a miracle. I've been lied to. And the counselor said, Lord, it doesn't matter if it takes a second or 80 years. If God does it, it's a miracle. 80 years for that mighty oak. That's a miracle. The king didn't understand that. There are miracles going on around us all the time. There's the miracles of the Jordan parting. There are miracles of the birth of a baby. We've lost a sense of that. We have no sense of miracles today, and yet they happen around us all the time. Minimizing God's work is such a travesty. We have blessings, we have miracles, and amazing events all through our lives, all through our lives. And oftentimes we don't realize it until they're gone. If I stood here right now and I said, Lord, come to us, and the doors blew open and you felt a breeze, would that be the miracle you're looking for? Or is it enough to know you're sitting there right now and God's sitting next to you? That's a miracle. God doesn't have to blow the doors open to be with you. God is with you. We have Red Seas and Jordan Rivers in our lives. Childbirth, miracle. Trees, miracle. Why is it we don't see that anymore? Why is it we don't give God the due respect for the many miracles in our lives every day? It may be a grandfather who loves us and takes care of us when none other will. It may be that you're going through difficult times with your health and you have a spouse who takes care of you. Some people don't have anyone who takes care of them. Yet another miracle. I submit to you, many of us have become blind, whether through bitterness in life or simply impervious to our surroundings, that we have miracles around us every day. What a shame. How sad. Our God is so active, yet is ignored by us. It's a story of a 51-year-old man named Bob Edens. He was blind. He couldn't see a thing. His whole world was just smelling and touching. Then one day he had surgery, and this surgeon created a miracle and brought sight to him. For 5 decades, Bob could not see. And then when he could see, he said, I never would have dreamed that yellow is so yellow. I don't have the words. I am amazed by yellow. But red is my favorite color. I just can't believe red. I can see the shape of the moon, and I like nothing better than seeing a jet plane flying across the sky, leaving a vapor trail. And of course, sunrises and sunsets. And at night, I look at the stars and I see them twinkling. You could never know how wonderful everything is. When we begin to see all the beautiful things God has placed in our lives, we can stop playing the deja vu game. Oh yeah, we see those stars every night. Oh, the sun always rises. Ah, look, there's the moon. I've seen that my whole life. It's a miracle. It is truly a miracle. How is it that we don't see those things? The miracle God worked through Joshua. The miracle he worked through Joshua was no less a miracle than the one he worked with Moses. The miracles that God worked through Peter and Paul are no less miracles than the ones that his only son performed. Miracles abound. Have you seen the miracles in your life? Regardless of your situation, do you realize that God is in fact working miracles all around you? I did not prepare her for this, but I do want to say it. It has touched my heart for some time. But our own Bobby Atkinson, I was speaking with her back when she was going through losing her sight. And I said to her, Bobby, I know this is tough. And she said, oh no, God's closing one door and opening another. Where I used to read Scripture, now I hear it and memorize it. You see the difference? I see a door closing, but I see another door opening. But all too often, we just see the doors closing. We never see the opportunities ahead of us. Bobby does. She sees miracles. She knows that God's working in her life. Do we know that God's working in our lives? Because, folks, we can actually see. We see the colors. We see the stars. We see the moon. Some people can't, and yet they still see the miracles of God. How is it we see, but we don't see? The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so they may know I will be with you as I was with Moses." Did you hear that? Not kind of like I was with Moses. I'm going to kind of let you do a little miracle here. That isn't what he says. As I was with Moses, I'm going to work this miracle. So let me repeat it again. So they may know I will be with you as I was with Moses. Nothing less. Nothing more. As I was with Moses. I wonder how many, if any of the Israelites saw the water part in the Jordan and said, deja vu, he's done that before. We saw that with Moses. Do you think they did? Or do you think maybe they said, oh my gosh, look at that. We're going to be able to walk across on dry ground. What a miracle. Or maybe some of the Israelites said, well, you know, that's not as good as Moses. You think? I don't. I think people at that time were more in tune with the miracles of God. And they understood there is no lesser miracle, they're simply miracles. How do you see God? Do you think it makes a difference how you see God? Do you think it makes a difference? How can God be the God of just the Bible? And not the God of life. Therein lies the teaching of our Lord Jesus. He says to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, he says, look guys, you're telling everybody God is the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture. I'm telling you, he's the God of life. He's right here with you. He's not in a book. He's not in writings. He's a living God. Wake up. Teach the people about the living God who is doing miracles every day in your lives. Share that with them. Share a living God. Wouldn't it be great if we did? We have saints that have gone before us. And I think if they could all come back this day and stand before us, they would tell us that our God is a God of miracles today. Today. Not used to. Today. There was a golfer who'd been playing badly. I know some of you play golf, and John Cobb, I know you'll relate to this one. By golly, you probably went through this yourself. This golfer had been playing very badly. Not that you ever did, but. So he went to a psychiatrist, and he said, I can't play. I don't know what's wrong. My game is off. I'm not playing as well. And the psychiatrist said, here's what you do. I want you to go out and I want you to play golf, but don't use a ball. Use an imaginary ball. Something in your head here. Just pretend you have a ball and play that game of golf. So the golfer went out on the course. And he was enjoying the game. His first swing, a 260-yard drive. He was so proud of himself. Just pretending. 260. Wow. Then he putted a par. And he's like, man, I love this game of golf. The round went splendidly. But when he approached the 18th hole, there was another golfer doing the same thing he was, had seen the same psychiatrist. So they decided to bet on the 18th hole. Yeah. Said, we're going to bet. I'll bet you my shot's better. So the first guy gets up there, and he hits that ball 280 yards right down the middle. It was a beautiful thing, right down the fairway. So our golfer gets up, does the same thing. He says, oh, look at that. I hit it the same distance. We're in the same spot. So the other golfer goes out on the green. He gets his 5-iron. Says, watch this. Hits it. He said, did you see that? It hit the pin, and with the backspin I put on it, came back and fell in the hole. I just made a great shot. The other guy says, no, you didn't. You hit my ball. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we see what we want to see. It's a fact. We see what we want to see. And we can see miracles, or we can go through life pretending that there are no miracles. But the fact is, there are miracles. And they're happening right now in this sanctuary, outside of the sanctuary and in the world. We can't and shouldn't dishonor our God by seeing something like the miracle of a birth or the miracle of an oak tree and say, deja vu, we've seen that. That's no big deal. Trust me, when you got Egyptians chasing you and that Jordan River opens or that Red Sea opens or whatever else opens, that's a miracle. And you're going to say, thank you, God. Thank you. The only difference is we don't always have someone chasing us. But the miracle is still there. Performed every day. Believe in the God of miracles. Believe in the God of miracles. Live a life full of miracles. See the miracles around you. It'll change your life if you do. For they are there to be seen. The miracle of a grandchild, the miracle of a great-grandchild. Believe me when I say not everybody has them. It's a miracle. And if you still have your parents, thank God. Not all of us do. Brothers and sisters that have passed, we don't all have them. It's a miracle to have that in our lives. And to enjoy what time we have with those miracles. And there's the miracle of music. Right, choir? What a beautiful thing to come in and to hear these songs that touch our hearts and speak to us in a way that a voice, just talking like Paul to Eutychus, can touch our hearts to have that music. So give thanks for the lives that you have. Give thanks for everything around you. This building, this sanctuary, this fine place to worship is one of God's miracles. He brought His Spirit into the lives of those who came before us. And this is what we have. Isn't it wonderful? Believe in a God of miracles. Live like every day is a miracle. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, all too often we forget that You are performing miracles all around us. The miracle of heart surgery. Things that we can do in medicine that we were not able to do just 5, 10, 15 years ago. There are lives being saved. Miracles happening all around us. Be with us and fill us with Your Spirit that we may see the miracles that You perform. And may we always remember that it is You who never performs a lesser miracle. You simply perform miracles, and we thank You, Lord. Be with us. Be with us on this All Saints Day that we may remember the miracles of those who have gone before us, the lives that they gave for You, and that which we have because they believed. We give You thanks and praise. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.